grass-fed protein.
This is a test. 1, 2, 3.
Okay, I'll call the Employee Benefits Programs Committee to order. And you will see on our agenda, we start out with the roll call. Jennifer, if you would call the roll, please.
Thank you. Representatives LaFour?
Here.
Boehning?
Here.
Doctor?
Here.
Lanning?
Is that me?
Yep.
Oh, okay, I'm here.
Miskog?
Here.
Owens? And Striley? Senators Dever?
Yes.
Beckedahl?
Here.
Krebsbaum?
Present.
Larson? Lee?
Present.
And Nelson?
Here.
Mr. Chairman, I'm happy to report we do have a quorum.
That is good news. Okay, we have the consideration of the minutes from the October 26th and May 2nd meetings. Is there a motion? There's a motion by Senator Nelson to approve. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Representative Laney. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion carries. Okay, I guess at this point, we're going to talk about bill draft. Let me start by giving a couple of ground rules, I guess, is that our job today is, I mean, we at the previous meeting, we listened to testimony, and the testimony was also sent to you, so there won't be a lot of that today. We're going to merely go through these bill drafts to determine whether or not they have, we should be taking jurisdiction of those bills, and once we set that in motion, then there'll be an actual report will be created to see if it in fact it affects the system. So we're not here to debate the pros and cons of the bills. We're merely here to say state that you know, are we taking jurisdiction of these particular bill drafts? We will have a future meeting to discuss. See, what happens is TFFR and PERS boards will be listening to these actuarial reports, and they must report to their boards before they report to us. So we're trying to schedule it so that the perfect dates for this would be the afternoon of October 24th and all day long October 25th. So we'll be listening to the actuarial reports. The information that will then lend itself toward whether or not we're going to support these particular bills or not. So that's basically what our job here is to do. Is there any problem at this point with the afternoon of the 24th and all day on the 25th? I know that's out there a ways. October. And again, the reason we're doing it is because that's the date that the people are here to report to the actual boards as well. Any comments at all? Okay, if that works for PERS, Sharon, does that work for PERS in terms of your time frame?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Sharon Schurmeister, Chief Operating Officer at PERS. We have reached out to our actuary to see if those dates will work, but I wasn't able to hear back from them yet, but I'm sure it's far enough out where they can make arrangements.
Okay.
But we would certainly let you know if that won't work.
Okay, thank you. Okay, well, that's what we'll do. We'll put that in stone, other than if Sharon were to come back to us and say that that doesn't work for the actuarial people. Okay, any other comments? Okay, very good. Then we go to the draft number 126, and what we'll do is we'll take these on an individual basis to determine, again, jurisdiction only. So if we go to 126, and I guess I would...
It should be in order. I'm missing that one. you want to come back to that?
Okay, we can do that.
I will have staff bring down one.
Okay. Well, then we'll ask Mr. Scott Miller, the new executive director of the PERS system, to identify himself. And we have allotted you 45 minutes for question and answer. No, seriously, Mr. Miller, welcome back, I understand, to the state of North Dakota. And if you could tell us a little bit about yourself and what you anticipate in your new role.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Scott Miller.
Still the blue lights on?
Thank you. My first lesson. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, again, my name is Scott Miller. I am privileged and honored to be the next executive director of the North Dakota Public Employee Retirement System. I look forward to closely working with each of you on the North Dakota PERS issues that affect your constituents and our members across the state of North Dakota. Although my career has taken me across the United States, I am a North Dakotan. I grew up in Thompson, North Dakota, just south of Grand Forks. My dad taught at the University of North Dakota for 43 years before retiring a few years ago. I went to UND, so I'm a Fighting Hawk. Now I'm a Fighting Hawk. I graduated with a Bachelor of Business Administration degree with a major in economics and a minor in mathematics. I actually understand some of the actuarial stuff that you'll be dealing with over the course of this interim and through next legislative session. I went to law school. I graduated from the Willamette University College of Law in Salem, Oregon in 1994. I practiced out on the Oregon coast, actually, for a couple of years. As beautiful as the Oregon coast is, I can tell you that gray and drizzly is worse than white and cold any day of the week. At least it is for somebody who grew up with the white and cold. In 1998, I started working for the Attorney General's office here in North Dakota. Finally got back to North Dakota. And I was assigned by the Attorney General as counsel for North Dakota PERS, the Retirement Investment Office, including both the State Investment Board and the Teachers Fund for Retirement, the Bank of North Dakota, and the Department of Financial Institutions, and then for about 8 or 9 months, the Department of Commerce, when they didn't have an attorney. I didn't even know what a public pension plan was when I started with the Attorney General's office. Matter of fact, in my interview, they were excited about some of my banking background, my banking law background. They asked me, do you know anything about pensions? And I said, well, I have a 401k. Does that count? And they hired me on the spot. And so that was helpful. But over the course of my 8.5 years with the Attorney General's office, and actually very quickly, I got deeply into what public pensions were, the issues that were affecting public pensions, by working with former Executive Director Barb Collins and a lot of work with Faye Kopp as well. Also in working with North Dakota PERS, I learned obviously quite a bit about the insurance benefits that we administer. I did all the contracting since I was their attorney. I did all the contracting and had to really understand all that. So I have a fairly broad base that I bring to this position. But what bit me was the desire to move up into a position like this. And I didn't really think that I'd be able to do that out of the Attorney General's office. I thought I was doing a great job as their counsel, but I wasn't sure how I was going to get the supervisory experience. So I moved out of state, went to become in-house counsel with the Montana Public Employee Retirement Administration for 3 years. And as inside counsel, got a much more in-depth exposure to what happens within a public pension system, along with the governance and fiduciary issues that are part of that. And those governance and fiduciary issues kind of became my passion at that point in my life. And when I left Montana Para, is what Public Employee Retirement Administration is known as, I moved into a small startup law firm as their fiduciary and plan governance expert. We represented systems around the country, and I helped them with some of their fiduciary and governance issues. I then took what I thought would have been a terrific step up and moved to Hewitt Ennis Knopp, which is now called Ann Hewitt, in Chicago as one of their fiduciary and plan governance consultants. They're typically a very, very large investment consulting firm, and so I had a lot of exposure to the investment consulting world as well. But in my little niche as the fiduciary and plan governance expert, I provided some of those services, consulting services, to between 30 and 40 different retirement systems across the country, including both public and private deferred compensation, defined contribution, defined benefit, and also including five of the largest pension systems in the country. And so I got a huge amount of exposure to a bunch of different things going on around the country. But public service has always been what I wanted to do. Even in law school, I clerked with the Oregon Department of Justice, worked with my mentor in law school, had been a public servant, and that's really where my passion lies, is working for the people. And so I moved back into the public realm as inside counsel for the Chicago Teachers Pension Fund, and I'll tell you, that was an interesting experience. And that's probably all I'll tell you about that. opportunity soon knocked, and I obtained my first director level position as the what's called the Retirement Program Administrator for the City of Phoenix Employees Retirement System, or COPERS. And that's a strange title, Retirement Program Administrator, but essentially I was the director. I reported to my board of trustees. I was the highest ranking person within that government. And we provided services not only to the city for the City of Phoenix Employees Retirement System, but also on a little bit of a statewide basis. They have a really, I was going to say interesting, I'm not sure that's a strange enough word, but they have a very different public safety system in Arizona, where there is a central public safety system that invests all the monies, but they rely on what are called local boards to administer all of their systems. And so there again, I got a new experience with a different governance structure, and we provided that administrative support to the local boards at the time. But again, North Dakota called, and this position opened up, and frankly, this has been my dream job ever since I started in the Attorney General's office back in 1998. And when it opened, I talked to my wife, and she was like, of course I want to go back to North Dakota. And so applied for the position, and I got my dream job. And so I'm back in the state of North Dakota. I can't tell you how honored I am to have this position and to be able to help the citizens of the state of North Dakota, the employees of the state, the employees of the political subdivisions that participate in our programs, and to work with you and the entire legislative assembly on the incredibly important issues that we face in our public pension world, in our insurance world, in our benefits world. So thank you very much for inviting me to give you a little bit of my background. Of course, I'd be happy to address even more than 45 minutes worth of questions if you'd like.
Mr. Miller, welcome. Are there any questions or comments from anyone? We're making it easy on you today.
All right.
Thank you. I just wanted to tell you that you do have a good board that you work for, and also the staff, and what Sharon and the crew have done in between SPARB and you has been nothing short of outstanding. So we're pretty glad that this whole thing is in pretty good hands. So welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Representative.
126 to go somewhere else.
It's coming down.
Okay. All right. What we're going to do is we're going to come back to 126. So let's start with Bill Draft 128. And that is actually at the request of PERS. And you can see the description provides that if health benefits are provided through a self-insurance plan, PERS is not required to provide prescription drug coverage through a third-party administrator, is not required to provide stop-loss coverage for a prescription drug coverage. The bill draft also clarifies only vested members of the Highway Patrolman's retirement system are qualified to purchase service credit, and that retiree health benefits are able to be used for any dental, vision, and long-term care benefits. And I believe part of the reason that that was not going to be included is because that was, the dates didn't line up or something like that. Senator Devereaux, I don't know if you have anything to add to that, but I think that's the reason that that was put in that particular form. So are there any questions on Bill Draft 128, or is there a motion to take jurisdiction?
I would move we take jurisdiction.
There's a motion by Representative Laning. Is there a second? Second by Senator Beckerdahl. Is there any discussion? Okay, do you want to take the roll on each one of these?
Yeah.
All right, then
I'll recorded roll on everyone.
Okay, I will ask Jennifer to take the roll.
Thank you. Representatives LaFleur?
Aye.
Laning?
Yes.
Doctor?
Yes.
Laning?
Me again, yes.
Mitzkai?
Yes.
Owens, Striley, Senators Dever?
Yes.
Beckadahl?
Yes.
Krebsbaum?
Aye.
Larson? Lee?
Aye.
And Nelson? That motion does carry.
Okay, thank you. All right, the next bill draft is number 131, and it's just a short description, provides for an increase in employee and employer contribution for the main retirement fund and the defined contribution fund. And that is, again, found on bill draft 131. Any questions, or is there a motion? Vice Chairman Dever.
Well, Mr. Chairman, just a little bit of a reminder of the history of the employer contribution. We had a bill in the 2011 session that would have increased the employee and the employer contribution rates by 4 points over a four-year period. And at that time, the legislature decided to do the two in the two-year period and wait and make a decision on the other two in the 2013 session. There was a bill introduced in the 2013 session to reduce benefits and increase the contribution. And the benefit increase was passed in the House. The contribution was stripped out, and the bill was defeated in the Senate. So this comes to us again to complete the recovery plan. And I think with this, we would see an increase in the funding rate headed eventually to a fully funded status. What I would like to see is that this bill and the next two bills each be adopted by the committee and sent to the actuary, but then that we also have them considered in combination with each other too. So with that, I would move that the committee take jurisdiction of bill draft number 131.
There is a motion by Vice Chairman Dever to accept the jurisdiction of bill draft 131. Is there a second? Second by Senator Nelson. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I will ask Jennifer to take the roll.
Thank you. Representatives LaFleur?
Yes.
Spanning?
Yes.
Doctor?
Yes.
Lanning?
Yes.
Nitschak?
Yes.
Owens, Striley, Senators Dever?
Yes.
Beckadahl?
Aye.
Krebsbaum?
Aye.
Larson? Lee?
Aye.
And Nelson?
Aye.
That motion carries as well.
Okay, then let's go to bill draft 130, and that is four new hires. It decreases the retirement multiplier from 2 to 1.75% until the main retirement fund is at 100% funding, at which time the multiplier increases back to 2%. This is, at the request of PERS. Any questions, Representative Boehning?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know if someone can answer the question, because I know currently I think we're paying about 4% of the employee side of the benefit. Can we, and like in this bill draft here, can we have them pay the full 8%, whatever we, so it's split evenly like we have it, basically like it says in law, but it's really not. Can we go back to have them pay the 8% and us pay the other 8%? Whatever that subbid number is?
Representative Boehning, I guess my answer is that have to come in a different bill draft to do that.
I guess
correct?
That we would have to, but if that's something
you could certainly bring to the committee. And then something
sure
that obviously PERS has heard your comments, so. Any other questions or comments? Representative Doctor.
Shake. Thank you, Chairman LaFleur. The other question or comment that I have for PERS, we changed a few sessions ago, TFFR, where they went to the rule of 90, they had a tier system, and then the final five-year average instead of the 3 years in the rule of 85. Just curious if they looked into what TFFR, what they have in place.
Does someone want to address those two concerns?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Sharon Schermeister with PERS. Do you want me to address Representative Boehning
as well?
Please,
yes.
Regarding the, whether the employer, what needs to change in order to have the employees pay the full 8 or 7%? Because currently, you're right, there's the employee contribution and the employer contribution. The employee's share is 7%, the employer is 7.12, but currently the state is paying 4%. That was something that they made the election to pay back in the early or mid 80s in lieu of a salary increase. It's my understanding that that could be something that could change, I believe, without statute, but I would have to check that, and we can certainly find that out.
Representative Manning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Sharon, I guess what I'd be looking at is from the new hires on and not have the current employees into that, that we'd go from the new hires on.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Boehning, that would, my understanding with that, that probably would be prohibitive, because whenever an employer picks up a certain part of a contribution, it needs to be done uniformly for all employees. So that would not be something that could be done for new hires only.
Okay, but we can change the rule of 80 to 85 to 90 and leave the old ones there, but we can't change this though.
That is my understanding on the contribution. It's more restrictive.
Okay, if that's something we can maybe just take a look at again and see if it's.
Okay.
And then for Representative Doctor's comment, PERS does have a different tier of benefits. We put that in. Senator Dever referred to that. I think it maybe it came in the 2015 session, where for employees hired after January 1 of 2016, they have the rule of 90. So we do have that in place. And then what we're doing here in bill number 130 is also introducing another tier of benefits where the multiplier would be lower for new hires.
Okay, did I answer your questions? Okay, and then I just been reminded, and it is correct, that we did set an April 1 deadline for any particular new legislation or bill drafts as part of this committee. So it's just for information. Okay, we are bill draft 130. Is there a motion or a second? Senator Krebsdahl moves. Is there a second? And Representative Mitzkog seconds. Any discussion on Bill Draft 130? All right, I'll call, ask Jennifer to call the roll, please.
Thank you, Representative LaFleur.
Yes.
Boehning?
Yes.
Doctor?
Yes.
Lehning?
Yes.
Mitzkog?
Yes.
Owens, Striley, Senators Dever?
Yes.
Becketall?
Aye.
Krebsdahl?
Aye.
Larson? Lee?
Aye.
And Nelson. That motion carries as well.
Okay, thank you. Bill Draft 129 is for new hires. It reallocates the 1.14% employer contribution currently allotted to the Retiree Health Insurance Credit Fund to the general pool of funds in the main plan. And that is 129, and that is at the request of PERS. Any discussion on that? Seeing none, is there a motion?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion that we accept jurisdiction on Bill Draft 129.
Okay, there's a motion by Vice Chair Dever to accept jurisdiction of Bill Draft 129. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Representative Lehning. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll ask Jennifer to call the roll.
Thank you, Representative LaFleur.
Yes.
Boehning?
Yes.
Doctor?
Yes.
Lehning?
Yes.
Mitzkog?
Yes.
Owens, Striley, Senators Dever?
Yes.
Becketall?
Aye.
Krebsdahl?
Aye.
Larson? Lee?
Aye.
And Nelson?
Aye.
That motion carries as well.
Thank you. All right, now we're to Bill Draft 135, and it's in regard to also at the request of PERS, and it is for future termination, provides final average salary is the higher of two alternative calculations. Any questions or discussion? Senator Nelson moves jurisdiction of Bill Draft 135. Is there a second? Second by Senator Becketall. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll ask Jennifer to call the roll, please.
Thank you, Senator. Representatives LaFleur?
Yes.
Boehning?
Yes.
Doctor?
Yes.
Laning?
Yes.
Mitzgog?
Yes.
Owens, Striley, Senators Dever?
Yes.
Becketall?
Aye.
Krebsbaum?
Aye.
Larson, Lee?
Aye.
And Nelson?
Aye.
Motion carries as well.
Okay, thank you. Then we move on to bill draft number 117. And that is at the request of Representative Casper. And it provides contracts for the provision of health benefits coverage may not exceed 2 years and may not be renewed, and updates the law relating to self-insurance plans for health benefits coverage.
And you do have Sanford's testimony.
And we do have written testimony from Sanford provided to us.
Move to accept.
There's a motion by Representative Boehning to accept. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Representative Laning.
I have a question, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Nelson, question.
Yeah, my question is just in the reading of it when it says and cannot be renewed. I'm assuming if that contract can't be renewed, but not the owner of the contract. So if Sanford had it for 2 years, they could submit another. You just can't automatically renew it. Is that what it's meant to say? Because that's not the way it's sounding. It's something like,
please,
hey, you
Jennifer.
Can't renew it, period.
Yep.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, I can look at that in more detail, but when we talk about renewal, that means you did not put it out for request for proposal. So what it would require is that it reinitiate that request for proposal and go in and accept bids.
That wouldn't preclude the current carrier from bidding the second time.
Correct.
And that's the confusion when it says and not renewed, whether it's the...
It's
renewed the current plan.
It's the contract that can't be renewed, not the carrier.
Vice Chair Dever.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It seems to me that we had a bill or an amendment or something in the last session that provided for this. And I thought we sent it away and that we got a response back that was basically the pros and cons of it. So I'm not sure that moving forward is going to provide any additional information. I don't have any objection to that. But it seems to me that maybe one of the things that Sanford doesn't include in here is that it would provide an advantage to the incumbent carrier, which is Sanford at this point.
Okay. And one thing, again, that we need to remember is that we're not debating the good or bad points of the bill. We're debating whether or not that we should be taking jurisdiction of this. The debate is for our October meeting.
Well, Mr. Chairman, my
continue.
My only point was that we're doing again what we did before, so I didn't see it as necessary, but I'm not going to object to it.
Okay. Representative Bain.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think what we had last session is what we dealt with is because we had technically a six-year contract with two renewals, so we had a six-year contract, so we couldn't go out and go to another carrier. This, I think, is what's going to say every 2 years we can have a new carrier if we so choose to. We put it out for an RFP every 2 years, like we do currently with the current one. They have to give a new RFP every time to us, but they can renew it if we so choose to. We don't have to go to another bid process.
Okay. Okay, any other? Senator Krebsbaum.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, in view of the fact of Senator Dever's remarks, I would be interested in knowing if we could find out whether this issue was submitted for actuarial study last time.
PERS might be able to comment on that.
Anybody from PERS like to comment on that, please?
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my recollection is that similar language to this came up during the session last year. So it may have come to the committee, but it was in during the session. So I'm not sure. I know we provided testimony on this, but it was in front of the policy committee as opposed to this committee, but it may have come before this committee as well during the session.
Okay.
Do you want me to
look? I wasn't here, so I can't answer that. Representative Doctor.
Thank you, Chairman LaFleur. From my recollection, it came wait, it was really late in the session and that this came about, and we didn't know what to do, so we really didn't do anything. And so that's why it would be for jurisdiction. That's just my recollection from last session, is that it came so late in the game that we didn't have time to take up this topic. And I believe we had a meeting. I think Senator Kresbach was the chairman at that time, and we were just out of time, and we couldn't. It was already submitted before. It should have came to the committee beforehand, and it was already submitted, and so we didn't do anything. Senator Kresbach, if you remember.
Senator Kresbach.
The memory gets foggy that long ago. But at the same time, I do believe that Representative Doctor is correct, that it did come very late. And I know we had a lot of discussion on it, but I don't know as if there was an actuarial study or not. So.
Senator Jennifer is going to look up the records here, so let's just take a couple-minute break here. We'll give her that chance. Couple minutes.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, I can report that during last legislative session, you held at least two different meetings. On February 16th, you held a meeting, and your agenda shows that you addressed a bill relating to technical comments relating to 1023 and coverage of autism services. So that's what you did in February. I can look back to your January meeting as well. Okay, then I don't think you had any meetings after, let's see, March 23rd. You met on House Bill 1436. You met on Senate Bill 2053, and you met on House Bill 1403. One of them was relating to, 1403 was relating to transparency. Technical corrections on 2053. And 1436 was health insurance plan and money in the health insurance reserve fund. So I think 1436 was Representative Carlson's. Does that sound right?
It does.
Okay. That number rings a bell.
It's a 1400 and a lot, probably more like
1000. So again, we've got a motion to second. Do we want to take jurisdiction of this? And we can certainly argue the pros and the cons at our October meeting. Are there any other comments before I ask for a call of the roll? Okay, go ahead.
We're on 117.
117, correct.
Representatives LaFleur?
Yes.
Boehning?
Yes.
Doctor?
Yes.
Laning?
Yes.
Mitzcock?
Yes.
Owens, Striley, Senators Dever?
Yes.
Beckedahl?
Aye.
Klebsbaum?
Aye.
Larson, Lee?
Aye.
And Nelson? Yes. That motion carries as well.
Okay, thank you. All right, we'll go on to bill draft number 19. And let me find my place here. Which is by Senator Larson, and it provides if a state employee elects family health benefits coverage, the employee pays the difference between the cost of the individual coverage and the family coverage. Any comments, questions, or is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Beckedahl.
I would move the committee take jurisdiction.
There's a motion by Senator Beckedahl to take jurisdiction. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion is second by Representative Boehning. Okay. Any further discussion or questions? Okay, I'll ask Jennifer to call the roll, please.
Representatives LaFleur.
Yes.
Boehning.
Yes.
Doctor.
Yes.
Boehning.
Yes.
Mitzcock.
Yes.
Owen, Straley, Senator Stever.
Yes.
Beckedahl.
Yes.
Krebsbaum.
Aye.
Larson, Lee.
Aye.
And Nelson. That motion carries.
Thank you. Bill Draft 20 revises the duties of the Employee Benefits Programs Committee, and that has been submitted by Representative Straley. And you can see, you know, we can go through it and under A and B, A adds the language, the committee shall take jurisdiction over a measure or proposal sponsored by the judicial branch or an executive branch agency with bill introduction privileges which affects actuarially or otherwise the retirement programs of state employees or employees of any political subdivision or the health and retiree health plans of state employees or employees of any political subdivision. And again, in B, it includes that judicial branch or executive branch wording. So, and I believe that's the only page on that particular.
Do you want me to summarize it at all?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Please, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, my recollection is this bill draft narrows the scope of this committee's duties, specifically what you're doing here today. Right now, if you read our overstruck language right in that first page, it says, if there's a bill draft that an agency or a legislator or the legislative management is going planning on introducing, it's got to come before this committee before it can be introduced. It's got to have that actual report assigned attached to it. This would narrow the scope and say it only applies to agency bills. So it does not apply to legislative sponsored or committee sponsored. So that means that if an individual legislator had a bill draft, it would be introduced without that actuarial study. So as it goes into committee, one, you don't have the deadline for when you need to introduce it. And two, as it goes into committee, it doesn't have that financial information attached.
Senator Nelson.
So the question here then, Mr. Chairman, is not so much do we take jurisdiction, but because I don't quite frankly see which of the two pension plans would pay for it, because it really never says anything about an actuarial study. It's more apt to be at that next meeting where you're going to vote an unfavorable or a favorable recommendation, am I right?
That is correct.
So just for your opinion on this, what's the advantage of us taking jurisdiction of this?
Would there be any reports that would come back to us, anything like that, that would, more information?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, if I understand your question correctly, are you distinguishing between an actuarial report where we're looking at finances versus a report on the impact of the bill?
Well, most of the time when we accept jurisdiction of a bill, it's sent to one of the two pension funds for an actuarial study.
Right.
This one doesn't have an actuarial study, so what is it we're studying? And I'm just kind of lost of, do I want to kill this one now or later?
I guess, Senator Nelson, I would like to see PERS have the ability to weigh in on this. I mean, if we take jurisdiction or don't take jurisdiction, some legislator can still introduce this. Mm-hmm. And so for my, I mean, we've got time here. Okay. So my two cents would be, let's let PERS take a look at this. Let them report back to us on the pros and the cons of it, and we can vote the way we want at our October meeting. Vice Chair, did you have a question? Didn't have a copy of the bill. Okay.
actually, my question would have been just, I think, along the lines of Senator Nelson is
been here too long.
Where do we send this for study?
Well, that again, that's a decision we can make today. If we vote to take jurisdiction, at least that'll give PERS and their actuarials and the people an opportunity to take a look at it, report back to us what good or what harm it would do, or we don't take jurisdiction and some legislator can still introduce it, correct? Okay, Representative Laney.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I do believe, though, if we take jurisdiction, the committee's recommendation would then follow the bill.
Mm-hmm.
So if we were in favor of killing the bill, that would follow the bill. Whereas if we do not take jurisdiction, we don't have any say in it. Somebody just introduces it.
And that's why I would caution, let's get the best available information before we support it or kill it. Representative Bain.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. After last session, I think it's pretty open, because I don't think we're going to stop a legislator from introducing a bill. We're not going to stop a legislator from putting amendments in.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we're kind of in an area that's really gray. Mm-hmm. That says we have to have these bills in by now, but the only deadline we have is in the legislative session when our bill deadlines come in, and we have amendments until the session is over. So we're always going to deal with this no matter what we do.
Correct.
So.
Senator Creswell.
There would be one advantage by us having a good look at it, because whether we approve of it or not comes down to one of the three recommendations we give the bill as it passes out of here: the favorable, the unfavorable, or no recommendation. So if and that's a problem I see with setting this up in permanent statute the way it is, because it defeats the purpose of this committee's oversight in legislation affecting PERS.
Mm-hmm. Good discussion. Anyone else? And do we have a motion to second on this? I forgot.
We do not yet.
We do not. Okay. Is there a motion to accept? I'm sorry?
Move to accept.
Representative Baining moves to accept. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Laney. Any further discussion or questions? Hearing none, I'll ask Jennifer to call the roll.
Representatives LaFleur?
Yes.
Baining?
Yes.
Doctor?
Yes.
Laney?
Yes.
Hitchcock?
Yes.
Owens, Straley, Senators Dever?
No.
Becquidal?
Aye.
Krebsbaugh?
No.
Larson Lee?
Aye.
And Nelson?
No.
The motion does carry.
Motion carries. Thank you. Okay. We'll go to Bill Draft 146, and that provides for a health savings account alternative to the traditional health benefits coverage for state employees, and provides for report to the Employee Benefits Programs Committee, and that has been introduced by Representative Baining. Representative Baining, did you want to summarize this for us at all?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll try to summarize it a little bit. Basically, what the bill draft does is, if you work for the state or your spouse works for the state, and the other spouse works for another employee that has health insurance, you can elect to take the spouse's health insurance from their business, from the spouse's employer, and then this would allow us to put, I just used the number of $300 into a health savings account in order to help pay for the deductibles, co-pays, and put into an HSA account, and whatever you can use the HSA account for. And I just used $300 as an arbitrary number. I mean, it could possibly go up, could possibly go down, but I think this would be a win-win for a lot of state employees, because a lot of state employees, and not just state employees, but school districts, counties and cities and so forth, have the PERS plan, and a lot of spouses do work for other employers that carry health insurance. And instead of having probably two plans or whatever, this would allow them to have one plan and then have enough money to cover deductibles and co-pays.
Okay, any questions on that?
Mr. Chairman, in deference to my good friend Representative Baining, I'll move that we take jurisdiction on this. And it would be interesting to me to see how it fits together with the current insurance plan, the current high deductible plan that we have, and then how this would work together with that. So,
okay, there's the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Becquidal. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll ask Jennifer to take the roll, please.
Thank you, Representatives LaFleur.
Yes.
Baining.
Yes.
Doctor.
Yes.
Laney.
Yes.
Hitchcock.
Yes.
Owens, Striley, Senators Dever.
Yes.
Beckettall.
Aye.
Krebsbaum.
Aye.
Larson, Lee.
Aye.
And Nelson.
Aye.
That motion carries as well.
Thank you.
Should we go up to the top?
Yes, we'll go back to Bill Draft 126, which is at the request of the Teachers Retirement Fund. And it updates the Century Code relating to the Teachers Fund for retirement to remain in compliance with the federal Internal Revenue Code.
I move jurisdiction.
Senator Nelson moves jurisdiction. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Krebsbaum. Any further discussion? Seeing none, I will ask Jennifer to call the roll, please.
Representatives LaFleur.
Aye.
Boehning.
Yes.
Doctor.
Yes.
Lanning.
Yes.
McScott.
Yes.
Owens, Striley, Dever.
Yes.
Beckettall.
Aye.
Krebsbaum.
Aye.
Larson, Lee.
Aye.
And Nelson.
Yes.
Motion carries as well.
Okay, we've gone through all the bill drafts. I would ask if there's anybody in the audience that would like to make any commentary toward the committee at all. Okay, and are there any other committee members that would like to add anything to what we've talked about today? Vice Chair Dever.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for running such an efficient meeting. I think if all of our committees were scheduled for an hour, that things might move more rapidly. At the beginning, I suggested that Bill Draft 131, 130, and 129 be considered by the actuary individually and also for their combined effect, and I wonder if that would require a motion or if that can just happen.
Okay, they will just do it.
Okay.
Okay, any other comments? Okay, and I would ask PERS and TFFR about those October 24th and 25th dates. So those are key, so we want to have the right people here to give us the information we need to support or not support legislation that we have taken jurisdiction of. So if there's no other comments, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carried. Meeting adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Well done.
The hour?